Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, the lovely and talented Miss Timmy Dennis.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right.
Well, for those of you tuning in this evening, if this is your first time with us, welcome to the show. Thank you for checking out the Darkness on the Edge of Town, spending Sunday night with us. For those of you that are always here, thank you for coming back and making us a part of your regular plans. We appreciate having you here. And tonight we got a couple of unique, different topics. We're going to be talking to Todd Partain in a few minutes. And we're going to be talking to him about his experience with Bigfoot and also his documentary, Eyes in the Dark, The Sasquatch Experience. And watch that today. Very fascinating, very interesting. A lot of big names. Lauren Coleman, as a matter of fact, was quoted on there as well. So it's a very interesting program we'll talk about. The second hour, we're going to open up the phones to you, the listeners. So if you're interested, Tim, you're going to have to give out the phone number because I can never remember. It's 612?
Nope.
651?
Nope.
1-800?
Yeah, no. Close.
What is it? Go ahead.
952-830-1470. Once again, 952-830-1470. I should be able to give them.
470. Okay.
And hold your calls until the second hour.
Please. Yeah, second hour. Or if we open up calls for questions for Todd later on, you can give a call. Otherwise, you can also email your questions for our first hour guest, Todd Partain, to tim@darknessradio.com. Or if you join us in the live chat room, you can ask your questions in there and be a part of the show that way. And we will talk to him in a few minutes, as I mentioned. But in the second hour of the show, we're going to be taking your calls. We'll help you promote if you've got any upcoming conferences, Bigfoot conferences, Loch Ness conferences, UFO conferences, paranormal conferences. If you want to talk about it, give us a call. We'll talk about it on the air. Also, if you have any cool stories that have happened to you, actual hauntings or experiences with Bigfoot, UFOs. We don't usually open up the phones, but we got some of the bugs worked out of the mix, so we're going to take the phone calls in the second hour tonight. Hopefully, we've got the bugs worked out.
No.
Not yet. Well, we're hoping. We should have the phone line systems working. So if that's the case, we'll be taking your phone calls. Also, if you have any questions for Tim and I, we're celebrating about a year and a half on the air now, Tim.
Aw.
Went by quick, didn't it?
What'd you bring me?
A half-eaten bag of Pringles.
You're the best. Well, you're always thinking of me.
It's always the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, yeah, especially if they're half-eaten.
We rushed here after a very suspense-filled hour viewing of the series finale of The Sopranos. Paranormal? Perhaps not.
Well,
yeah, we don't know yet.
There's a little thing in the show.
A little Twilighty zone. A
little, with the cat.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But they've left us hanging. It's a strange ending to an amazing series. You know, if you want to talk to Timmy on that, I know he loves to chat about that. You could talk to him over at MySpace. And remember, if you check out our website, there is a link to both Tim's MySpace page and my MySpace page. Also want to direct you for any of you interested in the live events. We do still have tickets available for the Queen Mary and for Waverly Hills. They are going fast, though. So if you're interested in attending either one of those events, check them out. People keep getting on me and want to know about the Stanley if we're going to go back to the Stanley, we are currently working on that to see if we can arrange another visit to the Stanley for the first weekend in November. As soon as we do have information about that, we'll post it up on our site. So you can check that site at darknessevents.com. Again, that's darknessevents.com. And get all your information up to date on all of the trips right there. I hope that helps you. Right now, seems as good a time as any. We'll start off with a little news story, and then we're going to go to our guest. Since we're talking about cryptozoological beings with Bigfoot, we'll start off with a story that our lovely and talented assistant, Miss Ashley, gave to me here. This was dated June 4th. And man claims to have shot video of Loch Ness Monster again, Tim.
Really?
Yeah, Edinburgh, Scotland. A Yorkshire man claims to have shot a video capturing the mythical Loch Ness Monster. Gordon Holmes is a 55-year-old lab technician. He was filming the lake where he captured an animal he says was about 45 feet long, moving at about 6 miles per hour on his camera. He says, "I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw this jet-black thing," Holmes told the AP. The video has stirred debate in the cryptozoology community as the quality of the tape is fairly good. Marine biologist Adrian Shine, who was watched the video, says it is some of the best footage he's ever seen. However, he still offers some explanations to describe the sighting. It could be some biological creature. It could just be the waves of the lock, or it could have some psychological phenomena in as much as we see what we want to see. So this guy's, we really had to get an expert to weigh in on the fact that it could be an animal, it could be a wave, or it could just be us seeing something that we want to see.
That's real.
Yeah, that's, thanks for narrowing it down there, Doc. It's not the first time that someone has claimed to have seen Nessie, the purported successors of prehistoric dinosaur aquatic reptiles. There have been thousands of sightings of Nessie over the decades, the most iconic being the one by a gynecologist in the 1930s. However, the legend of Nessie is far from historic, as it was also mentioned by St. Columba, one of the founders of the Christian Church in Scotland in the late 7th century. So I guess there's more footage of Nessie popping up there. Now, I don't know. Did you watch, Tim? They've had some really great updated specials on Nessie on Discovery Channel. And, you know, the humps that they see cruising through the water, which have been a very popular phenomena surrounding Nessie. Mm-hmm. Now with high-definition cameras, they're able to actually see that this is more of a wave pattern that the water creates. And sure as hell, from a distance, it just looks like these large humps coming out of the water and cruising at a pretty good speed. Mm-hmm. But when they amplify it and look at the clarity of these images, you can actually see their waves rolling on top of each other, creating this rolling pattern, which makes it look like humps in the water. So I wonder if technology has finally caught up to the point where we're going to be able to disprove a lot of the things like Nessie, perhaps even Bigfoot. I mean, we've got Todd Partain on the line right now who we'll go to, and we'll talk to Todd a little bit about that. But Tim, what do you think? I mean, do you think we're kind of come to a level with technology now that we may either totally be able to discount the existence of these creatures, or do you think that it's just going to help in the documentation of these creatures?
I think we're at the point where we can start debunking stuff.
A lot easier, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, HD, but there's something cameras, about the satellites. Something about the grainy camera, which is kind of funny. Todd, are you on the line with us here?
Oh, yeah, right here.
Okay, Todd, thanks for joining us. Our guest is Todd Partain. Todd, when actually was filming this documentary, went back and used some old Super 8 cameras and things so that he got that grainy quality. And it's kind of funny when you watch some of the, you know, I mean, your reenactments and things like that, you watch the clear video now and you look at it, you know, of newer Bigfoot sightings, and you look at it and you go, ah, it's too good. It's, you know, it's got to be faked. But we long for those days of grainy, crappy video footage, because that's the ones we seem to really want to take for granted. Todd, now, looking over your bio and information, it was you grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana back in 1969, and you were 5 when your encounter with Bigfoot happened, right?
That's correct. Okay. We had gone up to visit my grandfather up in Arkansas, a place called Caddo Gap, and my grandfather was kind of the town police chief of a small town up there called Glenwood, and which was kind of like being the police chief of Mayberry.
Okay, that's what came to mind when you said that.
So we would go up to visit him, and Caddo Gap is right next to the town that he worked in, and he had just acquired a little trailer house to live in on the side of this mountain in Caddo Gap, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And we would go up and visit him every, you know, a couple times a month probably. And we had gone up this particular time to see his new trailer house. And everything went well that day. And toward the evening, my grandfather deputized my father for the night, which I guess he had the power to do.
And so Andy and Barney were heading out for the night? Okay.
Pretty much, yeah. All right. And so me and my dad had this little .38, and they would go out and go on patrol. And
all right.
So they were gone, and it was just me and my mom and my older brother, my younger brother, and my grandmother. And so we were there by ourselves and eating our SpaghettiOs or whatnot. Well, it's 1975. I was 5 years old.
Sure.
And
hey, you don't have to explain away why you're eating SpaghettiOs, Todd. I'm almost 40 years old. I still eat SpaghettiOs.
Okay.
No harm in it. And I think that's what brings about most paranormal experiences. Am I wrong, Tim? SpaghettiOs?
No, not at all.
Yeah, that's right. Huffing Chef Boyardee fumes might be what causes
there's
us
something
to
in that sauce.
That's
I'm
right.
But anyway, my older brother, who was even back then was Mr. Tough Guy.
Mm-hmm.
He kept putting his hand up over his eyes. He was sitting in a place where he was. He had a clear view of the door. Keeps putting his hand up over his eyes like he's shielding his eyes from the sun or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally we asked him, you know, why are you doing that? And his response was that there was something looking at him through the window of the door. And
now,
you know,
at the age of five, do you remember how that made you feel? I mean, did that wig you out, or were you kind of excited? Or
instantly, a chill instantly went up my spine. And it was just hearing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Went from, you know, just another night of sitting around just, you know, being a kid. And then suddenly have that moment where you're, I don't know, like you have this realization that something is very wrong. And I kind of, emotionally, I kind of equate it with the movie Jaws. There's a scene in that movie where Brody's sitting on the beach trying to just have an ordinary day after everything has happened, and he looks out, and he's the only person that sees this shark grab somebody and roll over in the water. And Spielberg does this long zoom in to him. You know, he's like the only guy on the beach that saw it.
Right.
And that was the feeling that I had.
Okay.
It was just like the whole world just kind of turned over.
Sure.
And so my mother immediately, you know, was like, oh, you know, it's your imagination. You know, so she gets up and she goes over to the door to prove that there's nothing out there. She looks out the door, and her reaction is not one of calmness and composure when she looks out the door.
Okay.
And you know, when you're 5 years old and you see that your mother is terrified,
right?
You immediately know that it's time to just go hysterical. So, so I was terrified. I was, you know, under the impression that the devil was outside. You know, that's the only thing I could think of. I wasn't thinking Bigfoot. I was thinking, my God, you know, there's a demon or the devil or something.
Sure.
Outside the trailer. So, you know, because when you're five, you believe in all that kind of stuff, you know, could just, you know, literally happen. Because,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, I thought the devil was under my bed sometimes. And so you know, I'm a little freaked out, just a little bit, you know, if you can call, you know, nearly wet in my pants freaked out. But so my mother and their goes over to my grandmother, and there's this conversation over in the corner of the kitchen there. And so they're going on a mad search through the house trying to find a gun. And my mother immediately shouts out, you know, you better get out of here. We have a gun. And my grandmother comes back in, and she's got a shotgun, but they can't find any shells for the shotgun. They found some .38 bullets, but, of course, the .38 pistol is gone with my grandfather.
Mm.
So we're pretty much we're at a loss there. We have no weapons that we can do anything with. And so my mother is in the process of blocking off the window. Now, see, this window was the old kind on these old trailer houses that had the crank-open Jalousie-type windows.
Oh, sure.
And it had been looking through the top pane because those windows had kind of a little bit of a diffusion or whatnot in them.
Mm-hmm.
And the upper pane was clear for some reason. I guess it had been broken out and replaced. I don't know for sure, but I remember it was clear, and that's where he said it was looking at him. And, you know, I'd gotten to the point already where I had already had my hand up over my eyes because I didn't want to see it.
Right.
Now, you know, nowadays, oh, man, I would have been at the window. I would have been going out the door, you know, trying to see this thing. But, you know, back then I was just too terrified to even move. And My mother blocked its view. She put a blanket up over the door and put some clothespins up. And, you know, of course, I'm like, you know, Mom, what is it? What is it? And she didn't answer me directly, but I remember her saying to my grandmother, I remember the word Sasquatch being said kind of real low. And And, you know, this was during the height of the whole Falk monster craze and all these types of things going on, you know. And that was the first time that I ever got that impression. But to me, you know, there was no difference between Sasquatch and the devil. There was a monster outside, and that's all I knew. So she puts a blanket up over the door, and apparently this thing did not like having its view blocked off. Because up until that moment, it had been completely silent. Whatever it was, it had come up onto this the little porch out in front of this trailer house, and it had done so quietly and so stealthily that we hadn't even heard anything. Well, now we heard it. As soon as its view was blocked, it went crazy. It did not like that one bit. So it started making a racket. There were grunts and like a growling, and there was heavy breathing. You know, all of which could be attributed to, you know, a large black bear.
Right.
But there were screams as well that just didn't, and noises that just didn't match anything a bear would make. Grunts and just sort of vocalizations that I can't imagine a bear making.
Now, how were you guys feeling? I mean, what was your response about hearing this noise? Do you remember, I mean, at the age of five, did you think it's a bear? Did you think it was just a big animal? Did you...
I shrank. Every time I heard the noise, I shrank. I mean, I just... I got closer to the floor, and before long, we were up underneath the kitchen table, and this thing is hitting the trailer. Funny thing, though, looking back, it never struck a window. It never, you know, it could easily, seeing later the damage it did to the trailer house, it could easily have put its, you know, hand or arm through a window or whatnot, but it didn't do that. And it worked its way around the trailer, you know, hitting the trailer every so often, shaking it, you know, worked its way around, came around to the back door of this house, which the lock on the back door did not work. If it had just turned the knob, it could easily have opened the door. And, of course, this door was about 5 feet from the table that we're all hiding under. And it works its way around to the back door, and I vividly remember seeing that door, hearing the doorknob strain, the metal in the doorknob strain because it was being pulled on. And
right now, that's the interesting thing too. In the documentary, you talk about with your mom that, and that is your mom, right in there?
Yes.
That it is the doorknob's being pulled and pushed, but not turned.
Never turned. It never turned the doorknob. Had it turned that doorknob, the door would have just come open. You know, I don't know. That puzzles me to this day. I don't have any explanation for that. I'd like to have an answer. You know, these things are known for twisting off tree trunks and tree limbs. Why does it not know to turn a doorknob? I mean, it would seem that only natural for that to be the next likely thing for it to do.
Unless what it's trying to do, like some animals, you know, if Bigfoot is what so many have led us to believe, is it's not really a combative meat eater, right? It's not after us, or we'd be fodder for it at its size and speed, right? I mean, maybe what it was doing is it figured if it just shook and rattled and made enough noise, you would leave and it could get to the Chef Boyardee.
That's a possibility, and the other possibility is maybe it wanted to get to my mom. I don't know. My mom was a young woman. She would have still had a cycle in those days.
Oh, sure. The sense,
you know,
right?
Who knows? Who knows what the motivation was? I've talked to several people, during the making of this movie that I made, this little independent film of mine, and afterwards, people that have contacted me, and the impression I get is that, you know, there's a possibility that it was a what they call a rogue male or a lone male looking for a mate, and that there was the other possibility was that it saw us as competition in its territory, and it was basically in trying to intimidate us out of its territory.
Dude, your mom's hot. Bigfoot wants to nail her. That's going to go down on your cred.
Back in those days, she was probably hot. Nowadays, I don't know if anybody would think she was hot, but
she might be listening.
Back in the day, she was pretty hot. But Anyway, it came to the point where I don't know what happened really after that, because at that point I was so terrified that my memory stops about right there. And it picks up, it doesn't pick up again really until the next morning. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there's a switch that flips off. I guess I really need to pose that question to Lauren Coleman, since he works with, he works as a psychotherapist a little bit. And I guess one day I need to contact him and ask him, what causes that to happen, that memory lapse at that point, when I remember everything else so vividly.
Well, it's probably like anything with post-traumatic stress disorder. There's just, at some point, your mind just can't wrap around the reality of what you're seeing or understanding, and fear. You know, I mean, you hear so much about these people, and I had a similar experience. It had nothing to do with a Bigfoot, but when I was a kid in my parents' home, they had gone out for the night. I was maybe about 10, 11 years old, and I was watching an old Carol Burnett episode, and on the episode, she's watching a movie where a guy pops up in a window, and she turns and looks, and there's Tim Conway dressed as a, the old man burglar looking in the window. And I jokingly turn and look at my window, and there was a man standing outside the window. So I was 10 years old in the house by myself. It's pitch black out, and there's his face at my window. And I just went on autopilot. I literally remember just kind of being pulled out of my body and watching as I dove towards the window and started screaming and screeching like an animal, pounding at the window and snarling at whoever the hell was out there. And it was like I was watching me do this whole deal. I wasn't part of that, but I wonder if there's just a point where your mind, fear snaps you, and you take, you have to be separate so that your survival instinct can do what it takes to get you protected.
Another level to your consciousness, and the animal part of you takes over.
But it was hilarious, because I remember the look on the guy. I remember looking at myself, and I look like a creature. I look like a demon tearing at the window, trying to eat this guy through the glass. And God, that sounded filthy. But anyway, I dove at that window, and I just remember this poor guy's eyes. And, all of a sudden I felt bad for the peeping Tom. He looked like he probably dropped a load in his pants and took a run for it, because, that had to be one of the weirdest things he had to see. He's just going to go try to peek in somebody's window, and all of a sudden he's got the demon child trying to tear through the bricks to get to him. So, I think that just might be the flip of the switch, because I had a similar experience like that. However, I have vivid memory of it, but I could see it going either way, blacking out or remembering right there. But Todd, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. We'll discuss more. We'll talk about your really interesting DVD that you've put together, self-produced yourself. So stick with us. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Remember, for hour two, we're going to be taking your questions. If you have any questions for Tim and I regarding the paranormal, anything to deal with our experiences or our knowledge on, as limited as it is, on the paranormal, we'll be happy to answer that for you, talk about any of the events that we've done and seen. Or if you just want to call up and share with us any of your conventions or upcoming events, let us know. Again, for the second hour, you can call us at 952-830-1470. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
I am Greenblock 6, and when I am in your galaxy, I listen to Dave and Tim on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. Or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit supernaturalnews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air.
Either that or Dave and Tim had the seven bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Just might open the window.
Welcome back to the darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Timothy David Dennis, my lovely and...
Why gotta give the middle name? Why don't you give out my social because too, so they can take my identity?
It's David. That's a great name, man. You are too worrisome. All right, we'll just edit it out. We'll edit it out. Nobody's listening. Our guest tonight is Todd Partain, and Todd has actually produced on his own and directed a documentary about his experience and also talking to others about their experience. It's called Eyes in the Dark, The Sasquatch Experience. And I got to tell you, Todd, I'm impressed. You know, I've seen some really big-name produced documentaries that absolutely suck, and yours came out really nice. If you're just a little independent guy who knocked that out on your own, you did a great job.
Thanks. I really appreciate that.
Very nicely done.
A lot to me. It really does.
I mean, I feel bad for Tiger, your buddy, who you dressed up like Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. Poor guy.
That was great, though. The footage on that is hilarious. So, very nice costume. You did great work on that, but your poor Putabon buddy, you could tell he's just like, oh, what the hell did I sign up for?
Yeah, he's like, how did I get my... You know, at the beginning, he was pretty excited, but toward the end, he was just like, oh, God.
Yeah, we'll mention that,
too.
The footage that you show throughout is reenacted footage that you had your buddy...
Yes, absolutely. There is no actual footage of an actual Sasquatch in the documentary. I want to say that so that everybody understands that clearly. The old film footage you see is actually old Super 8 film that I found on the internet from the 1970s, the old Kodachrome Super 8 film from the age before home video, because we wanted to get that, like you said, that degraded, grainy look to take people back to the 70s.
Right.
And where some of these experiences happened.
You know, I think you could go out and film Bigfoot porn with that camera, too.
Yeah.
It's got that 70s grainy look to it.
Yeah, it does have that 70s quality to it, which you know, if anybody if you've ever looked for your grandparents' stuff or even your parents' stuff, you might find the old little Super 8 film reels and wonder what's on them. And, you know, maybe you should know and maybe you shouldn't
That's
know.
That's right. So let's talk a little bit more. Now, this doesn't just document your story. You were actually at the Texas Bigfoot convention, right?
Yes,
and
went up there on a lark and actually just met some great people. Just went up, not really knowing if I was going to get anything or not. Told my wife, you know, my wife thought I was crazy. Said, like, you know, I got this video equipment, it's gathering dust, you know, because I had worked a little bit in the field a little bit and had a little production company at one time and. Kind of gave that up, had a family, had to feed the kids, and got a job as a telephone company lineman. Had this equipment sitting around gathering dust, always wanted to go out and do this, always had that question in the back of my mind, what happened that night, why, how come, you know, nobody wants to talk about it, even in my family. And, you know, it's like, I'm the one that would bring it up and get everyone talking about it, and it was just one of the things, nobody had an answer for it, so everybody just kind of glossed over it, and my little brother actually... He had shut a lot of it out of his mind. And as we talked about it, you know, over the past few years, he started remembering more and more about it. He said, you know, I've sat around and thought about the time, and I remembered more and more about it. He goes, that was just really weird and strange, you know. He goes, I never realized that, you know, I'd had that kind of those strange events in my life. And
now, was that the only appearance of a Bigfoot in your life that you've dealt with?
Oh, absolutely the only appearance of a Bigfoot, yes.
Okay, well, I say it that way. Have you had any other paranormal type experiences? You know, they say once you've kind of opened that door,
have you
had ghosty or UFO activity at all?
We did, yes. There was a house at my grandparents', different set of grandparents, my other grandparents, my dad's folks, here in Shreveport. There was a house that used to stand at the corner of Vine and Market Street. And it's not there anymore. It burned down in the 80s, so folks want to go looking for it, you're going to find an empty lot. But this old house was built probably back around the turn of the century, between the turn of the century and the 1920s. And it had a lot of very bizarre events that have unfolded in there. And if you want me to go into all that, I will, because I kind of researched my whole family history looking for every paranormal event that I could find, and I actually found quite a wealth of things.
Yeah, please, feel free. I don't know if you're familiar with our show, but we talk about that stuff here.
Yeah, so okay. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to the earliest thing that I can find anything about. My grandmother, mm-hmm. on my father's side, they're from a place called Leesville in kind of the southern part of Louisiana, kind of south central. And back when she was pregnant with my father, my grandmother was out in the field picking some flowers. She'd come upon an old tree stump, and she was going around the tree stump picking flowers where they were growing around the tree stump. And this is out in the middle of a cow pasture. She comes around the stump, and there's a rattlesnake coiled up. And my grandmother, I know from every experience I've ever seen her seeing a snake on television, she completely freaks out.
Okay.
So she was terrified of snakes. You know, she can grab a chicken and, you know, break its neck with no problem, but, you know, snakes, oh man, forget about it. Sure. She's up the wall. So she's barely able to move anyway because she's huge and pregnant with my dad. She's frozen. She doesn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy shows up with an axe, kills the snake. The guy's like dressed classic. I asked her, what does this guy look like? She goes, he just looked like a regular man. He was wearing a red plaid shirt and blue jeans. And he chops the snake up, kills it. She's, you know, she gathers her composure, turns around, picks up her basket of flowers, turns back around to thank the guy, and he's gone.
Weird. Okay.
She's in the middle of a pasture. There's no place he could have gone. There's no place he could have shown up from. Just was there when she needed someone to be there. And
there in her basket was a roll of brawny paper towels. Is that it?
Yeah, the brawny paper towel guy came and saved her life. I don't know.
That rocks. That is a good story.
But that was probably I was pretty shocked to hear that story from my grandmother.
Yeah, no doubt. That's crazy. Okay.
And then, so the next paranormal event that I know of in our family history happened with my dad. It was a cryptozoological event. It happened when he was about 8 years old in 1948. He was younger than that because he was 42. He was about six or seven years old. Him and his two cousins were being walked to church one evening by his grandfather, my great-grandfather, and who I never met. But he was an old woodsman who went out and built these slab towns, what they called slab towns, out in the middle of the wilderness.
Okay.
And they would go out and they would literally build a small town for the lumberjacks and loggers to live at while they went out and worked and, you know, cutting down the trees. So they were walking to church one night, and his grandfather and grandmother and two cousins, and there was a rustling on the side of the road, and his grandfather put his arm out and, like, made a motion for them to all be still and be quiet. And so they all froze, and this creature came up out of the woods onto the road. This was like one of the main highways, actually, they were walking down. And it crossed over the road in front of them, and my father could tell that it was a spider. But the size of the spider, my dad describes it as the size of a wash tub.
Jeez.
And my dad, back in those days, I mean, my dad actually bathed in one of the old galvanized steel wash tubs on the back porch of their house. So we're talking about a wash tub that, the smallest wash tub I've seen of that type is about maybe 2 feet across. So you're talking about a spider that was at least a foot and a half to 2 feet across.
Wow, and this was in Louisiana?
Yeah, this was in Louisiana. If, in fact, you know, his recollection of the event was accurate, his description of it being a size of a wash tub, you know, you got to remember, we're dealing with the recollection of a child, you know, which is very much what mine is.
Right.
Except I was a little bit older when what happened to me happened. But and he asked his grandfather what it was, and he said his grandfather said that it was a very big spider, and his grandfather didn't seem to be, you know, very put out by it. It was just, he just kind of took it as a, you know, another fact of life, and they went on to church. Well, they didn't, he noticed that the adults, you know, they didn't say anything in front of them. And I always knew my grandfather, who was, you know, my dad's father, was the same way. He was not a talkative person. They didn't talk about a lot of things. And so they never walked to church again, I know, at night, is what my dad said. And my dad was very disturbed by the whole event because he had played in that area where they saw the spider come out of many times.
Jeez.
And so, that kind of creeped him out a little bit. My dad was not a big person for going in the woods a lot.
I wouldn't blame him. My God, he got spiders the size of wash tubs.
Yeah. So that was a pretty disturbing event for him. Later, the family moved to the Shreveport-Bossier area for work purposes. And that's when they moved into this very interesting house, the corner of Vine and Market. And when I was a child, there was a really awful, awful paranormal experience that happened to my older brother in that house. But the first thing to ever happen was my grandmother was sleeping in the back bedroom in the upstairs level, and she woke up. They hadn't been living in the house very long. She woke up, and there was a man standing in her doorway.
Oh, my.
And he was wearing a trench coat and a derby hat. And she said, "Who are you? What are you doing in my house?" And he said, "Don't worry, ma'am. I'm not going to hurt you." And then in her words, her exact quote, and then he just faded away.
Wow. Shadow person, huh?
Yeah, something like that. And then something happened when my older brother, who was about 2 years older than me, who was the one who saw the Sasquatch. It's kind of strange. My older brother's life has been kind of a rocky road. Always was. He's passed away, actually, a couple of years ago, which was one of the reasons I set out to make the documentary, because I realized that, you know, one of the major witnesses that night was gone.
Right.
And I was never going to be able to sit him down and get that story from him again. And that sort of spurred me on. And then, of course, when I was making this documentary halfway through, I found out I had cancer. And I don't want to talk too much about it because I kind of believe that if you sit around and talk about it, you give something more power over your life.
Exactly.
So,
right.
But anyway, came through that and got out of that. But he always had a rough lot in his life. Mm. It always seems like really bad stuff always seemed to happen to him. And when he was a child, about 4 years old, my dad said he was just talking, just making sentences and stuff where you could understand what he was talking about. They had him in the house in one of the bedrooms asleep, and they were in the next room. And he woke up screaming and wailing, and they went in, and he explained to them as well as he could that an old man had been hitting him with a stick.
Wow.
And they didn't really believe him. They put him back to bed and everything and tucked him in, and they went back and got in their bed. And then a little while later, it happens again. The screaming starts again, and they run back in again. This time they lift up his shirt, and he's got welts all across his back.
Wow.
And he told me years later, I didn't get it, any documentation on it when he said it, but he told me years later, he said that he remembered an old man floating down out of the ceiling and beating him with a switch.
Wow. And, all right, Tim, so now we've realized that we can never go to Louisiana because there are big-ass spiders and creepy old ghosty men that like to beat you with a stick.
Check.
All right. All right, mental note. And then we got to also stay away from Arkansas because there's Bigfoot.
Yeah.
See, now, if Bigfoot lived by the giant spiders, at least he'd have that big giant shoe to swat those big-sized spiders with.
That's right.
Yeah, I think I'd rather meet Sasquatch than the spider.
Well, yeah, no doubt about that. Wow. Yuck. So it has kind of followed your family. Have you yourself had any other paranormal experiences aside from the Bigfoot sighting, or is it just kind of happening?
In the house, yeah. In the house, I did. I had a paranormal experience in the house when cool. I was a kid.
Well, let's
talk
about that in a minute. We're going to take our last break of the evening here for this hour. We'll come back. You're listening to Todd Partain, and we'll talk to him about his personal paranormal experience. And if you have any questions, again, you can email them in to Tim at Darkness Radio, or you can go in, or that's Tim at darknessradio.com, or you can go into our chat room and ask questions there, or you can also give a call in at 952-830-1470. Again, that's 952-830-1470. If you have any questions for our guest, Todd Partain, feel free to give a call in, and we'll be back with more right after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny, and the Biscayne Bugle said, "How could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?"
I am so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd...
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
Well, good evening. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio. Our guest is Todd Partain, and Todd is the director of a documentary film called Eyes in the Dark, The Sasquatch Experience. If you're interested in that, just go to darknessradio.com, click on the show tab. You can go in there. You'll see a little trailer. We actually put up your trailer there, Todd, and we also have a link. If you click on the Eyes in the Dark picture, it'll take you to the link where you can actually go buy it, and they can get an autographed copy by buying it directly off your site from you, correct?
That's correct, at BigfootChannel.com.
Yeah, and it's a fantastic opportunity. Again, www.BigfootChannel.com, all one word, BigfootChannel.com. And you can order autographed copies there. You can check out and see the quality of the DVD by clicking on the little YouTube link I have with the preview. It's a great little movie. I'd highly recommend you pick it up. It's a really interesting documentary if you're into Bigfoot and into the cryptozoological side of the paranormal. It definitely makes you think, and you hear about all the different stories from all over the different parts of the United States. It's really amazing to me, and you've collected some really... what's the word I'm looking for here, Tim? Really captivating stories from each one of these different experiencers.
These guys were the folks that I met, and I was so fortunate because I went there with just a camera and just to go, hey, I'm nobody, you know, but can I get your story on tape? You know, and you know, this is, I'm not a huge movie producer. I'm just a guy with a camera who, you know, wants to try to do something. And these folks were just the super nice. Scott Harriet, Rick Knoll, Lauren Coleman.
Right.
I mean, they were all just so great, and they just sat down and they go, "Sure, you know, let's go out here and we'll do it." And we did it, and I mean, just incredible stories. I mean, the things they told me just blew me away. I mean, I was just really amazed by some of the stories that came out. And since I put the film out, I've had more people contact me with stuff that they're trying to get me involved in, and it's very interesting. So there's probably going to be one or two more in the future.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, there's probably going to be one called Beyond Boggy Creek, and I'm going to deal specifically with southern phenomenon in that. And we're going to see what else comes up. And I'm always going to try to do things about the paranormal, and I would like to also do something one day about my family's experiences with the paranormal and the research that I've done there. So
great. Well, we've got a question too from our boards right now. If you don't mind taking that, and then we'll kind of go back into your paranormal experience as a child in the house. So go ahead, Tim.
Well, Todd Rowdy on the boards wants to know if there've ever been any Bigfoot sightings in the Midwest, and do you have any particular Midwest Bigfoot stories that you'd want to tell us about tonight?
In the Midwest, I've heard a lot about Momo, which happened in Missouri, in areas like that. There seems to be a prevalence of sightings here in the what we call the Arklatex, near the corner of Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, and Oklahoma. There appear to be there's a huge expanse of river bottom land, largely unexplored except for people that go hunting and go hunting hogs and wild hogs and whatnot in those areas. And what they seem to find is that wherever you find a large abundance of readily available food and water in the wilderness, there seems to be a population of these individuals. And there seem to be different subspecies that occur. The Pacific Northwest has a lot of contiguous forest, and they seem to be bulkier and larger up there. When you come to the South actually has more forest land than the Pacific Northwest, but it's not contiguous. It's divided up into smaller areas. And the Sasquatch or Bigfoot, if you will, in those areas tend, from what I've been able to discover through my own research and talking to other people, is that they seem to be a little bit more aggressive. Their build is a little different. They're a little thinner, not quite as tall, and their hair is shorter for the most part. So we're dealing with, you know, and there's been a lot that have three toes, which is very odd and interesting at the same time to me. To me, that speaks of inbreeding. But you know that there's all kinds of euphemisms that you can.
I got an email question from Leia too. She wants to know, can you describe what your mom saw when she looked out the window?
Yes, my mother. Has given me lots of different euphemisms about what she saw. One time she described what she saw as a big old hairy hippie covered with hair. That was her way of describing it. So what she saw was humanoid.
Yeah, we had Autumn Williams, or was it her mom, Sally Shepherd Wolford, Tim? One of them described Bigfoot as looking like a big, oversized, dirty hippie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was basically the description that my mother gave. Was it looked it with glowing eyes. It was
that's
looked
some
like
good
a
weed
big,
those hippies get.
Yeah, it was like a big dirty hairy hippie, of course, with no clothes, but covered with hair.
Okay,
and that was her description.
Now, did it look mean and snarl? Did she see teeth on this? That's one thing I never hear anybody mention with teeth.
She never mentioned that. Now, I have spoken with a gentleman here in Louisiana. He's a member of one of the Bigfoot research organizations, and as a child, he had a sighting where a Bigfoot creature, he went to the bathroom one night. He lived out in the country in East Texas with his mom and his older brother, and he got up and went to the bathroom one night, came back into the room, and of course, they didn't have air conditioning in that old house, and so they left the windows open at night for ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming back from a midnight or later bathroom visit, and he hears a scratching noise at the screen. He looks up. He sees a Sasquatch face, and he said it smiled at him and showed him its teeth.
Okay.
He said that it then made a motion with its hand, like as if to say, come closer. And of course, he did. He had the same kind of reaction that you had. Instead, he just went completely animalistic. He actually attacked his older brother trying to wake him up.
Oh, jeez.
And was actually choking his older brother trying to wake him up.
Sure.
His older brother wakes up just in time to look up and see the thing walking away from the window.
Wow.
And or moving away somehow. So apparently, he did see its teeth. Now, the description of the teeth, hopefully that'll be forthcoming in, because I do intend to get his story down, and I'm going to try to go into every detail just as much as I can and do a recreation just as well as I can with the limited type of budget that I'm going to have. But you know, you do what you can with what you've got.
So poor Tiger's going to be out there in the yard again with the.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what we're. We're gonna try to help Tiger out a little bit next time if we can. But it'll probably be poor Tiger having to do it all again. So.
Well, he did a hell of a job. Tell him we loved it.
Oh yeah, he did great.
So let's hear a little bit more then about your paranormal experience in the house then that you were about to tell
us.
Oh
yeah, the house at Vine and Market.
Yep.
That house. We went over there one day to visit my grandparents, kind of unannounced, just showed up, and they weren't home. Knocked on the door, and the door opens.
Okay.
So it's unlocked, and my dad's a little worried. You know, he's like, well, I better go in and check it out. And now, my dad had stayed in that house quite a few years. He'd gone off in the Air Force, and while he was in the Air Force, that's when my grandparents moved up to Shreveport. When he came back out of the service, he lived with my grandparents for a while. So he lived in the house for a short time, and he had all kind of very strange things happen to him.
Sure.
So he already knows the history of this house because he's experienced it himself.
Right.
So he goes in, looks around, comes back out, and he goes, well, you know, they don't seem to be here. So we all walked into the living room. Now, I'd been in this house many times. We walked into the house that day, and it was just something about, I guess, the fact that they weren't home kind of made things kind of creepy. But we hear this whistling. Like someone's walking around the house whistling.
Okay.
We're standing there in the living room, the front room, and the footsteps and the whistling come into the room, walk around us, walk in between us. I mean, they're just all... It's just like a person walked around in the room whistling and just walked right around, you know, each one of us and walked right through the crowd of us there.
Mm-hmm.
And then walked back away, and it just kind of faded away. You heard the footsteps. You heard the whistling. You heard it get closer, it moves around you, and it leaves.
Hmm.
And that was actually the only paranormal experience that was just out and out.
Now, were these the grandparents that the grandfather was a sheriff or a cop?
No. That was my mother's grandfather in Arkansas.
Because I was going to tell you, if you heard... I'd say then we really do know that you were in Mayberry, and I think we figured out your problem.
Now this was a different set of grandparents, and my grandfather he hauled dirt for a living. He was a dirt hauler, and a no nonsense kind of guy. He didn't go in for anything out of the ordinary. I always had to take that my grandmother, because of her own experiences, had an interest in the paranormal, and that was primarily supported by the fact that. Later on, just a few years before she passed away, I lived with her for a little while, and I would sit around and read some of the things that she brought in for reading materials into the house,
mm-hmm.
and I kept finding the copies of these little magazines by the name of Fate.
Oh, yeah. We're familiar with them.
Yeah, so she obviously, you know, was subscribed to this magazine, or was getting them through a friend who subscribed to them, and... So she obviously had some kind of an interest in the paranormal, even though she really wouldn't discuss it a whole lot. It took a lot of coaxing for me to get the story about my dad and the snake incident, which, ironically enough, when my dad was born, he had a birthmark. A birthmark that looked like a tattoo of a snake.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, Tim, it looks like we have one last question for you before we have to head out for the hour here, Todd. So why don't we go ahead and take that, Tim?
This one's from Stewie on the boards. He wants to know, from a scientific view, no new species are being discovered in North America. So he wants to know, where is Bigfoot? It's not like there's a lot of undiscovered territory in North America. And he doesn't mean to be so direct about it, but he's not buying it.
Well, you know, that's fine, you know, because he doesn't have to buy it. And I'm going to be straight up and tell you this, because, you know, I've spoken with people who just came straight at me and said, oh, that's, you know, that's nonsense. There's no such thing as Bigfoot. And then turned right around and said, you know, I saw a UFO one time. And I'm like, okay, well, there you go. You know, people believe, I think people tend to believe if they've had an experience with something, they tend to believe it. I believe Bigfoot is real. I believe Bigfoot is real because when I was 5 years old, something attacked our trailer house, and it was not a bear, because the track I saw the next morning when we were leaving was a giant human footprint. It was not a bear track, because I've made a point of going to where a bear was sighted here in Louisiana and looking at its tracks. So I have firsthand knowledge of what a bear track looks like. And this was no bear track that I saw when I was 5 years old.
Plus, Dewey, I think, you know, to say that there's all this area that's been discovered, you know, I just flew from California to Minnesota and back and forth here, and flying over, there's plenty of areas that still have
I also take umbrage at the mark, there's no undiscovered area. I'm certain that human beings have probably been in just about every part of North America, but not on a consistent, regular basis.
Sure.
There's still places out there where human being has not set foot for years.
Right.
Just not often set foot in.
And the Native Americans have been talking about this creature for centuries.
To me, that's probably, to me, one of the greatest supporting statements for Bigfoot is the fact that the Native American cultures, many, many of the Native American cultures, all have their own Bigfoot legend.
That's right. Well, Todd, we really appreciate you being a part of the show with us. I know we were supposed to get together a couple times here. I'm glad that you were able to hold on and come on live for us this evening. Thank you again. It was a great documentary. I highly recommend everybody. And if you are interested in finding that, ladies and gentlemen, check it out at www.bigfootchannel.com to order your autographed copy of the disc. I would highly suggest that. And it's amazing. It's a really great little deal. Thank you for sharing the rest of your stories with us, Todd. And thank you all for tuning in for the first hour. Stick with us when we come back after the top of the hour break. You're going to be sitting in with an hour with Tim and I and Ashley, and we're going to be going over the questions that we've been getting in through email during the commercial breaks and during the first hour. So thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be back with more right after this.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.